this morning is recorded for us in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, beginning with the 10th verse. This is our first lesson for today, the second Sunday in Lent. Dear friends in Christ, everyone loves a good road trip. Now, you get together with a few of your friends and head out to some far off, maybe exotic destination, hours away. And as they say, half the fun is just getting there. Now, Americans love road trips. There's a reason why there's so many movies about road trips. There's a sense of adventure and freedom, and all sorts of shenanigans can happen along the way. Road trips with friends are fun. Not so fun when you're all by yourself. If you hop in a car and have to drive somewhere by yourself for 10, 12, 15 hours, it's not exactly fun. It can get boring, maybe even a little lonely. And that's kind of what life feels like. Life with friends and close relatives and loved ones, it's fun. And at times, it seems as if we're all alone on this journey called life, and it gets boring and lonely. But today, we see that on this journey, on this road trip, we're never alone because God is with us. And eventually, God is going to lead us home. Before Jacob and his twin brother Esau were even born, God told his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, the older, both serve the younger. So even though the twin brother Esau was born first, it was Jacob who would receive the blessing of the firstborn, who would receive that birthright. Now this was a big deal in any family back then, but especially if you were the child of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham, because then that child who would receive the birthright would receive all the blessings that God gave to Abraham and Isaac. God made that promise. God said, this is what's going to happen, but Jacob didn't wait for the Lord. Jacob didn't wait for God to fulfill his promise, for God to give him that birthright. So twice, Jacob took matters into his own hands. When they were grown up, once Esau returned hungry from an unsuccessful hunting trip, starving to death. So Jacob forced him to sell him his birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. Years later, when Isaac was much older and his eyes were failing, he told Esau to go and hunt and prepare some wild game for me so I can give you the blessing. Well, Rachel heard about this, told Jacob, and then Jacob dressed in his brother Esau's clothes, even putting goatskin on his hands and on his neck, because Esau was a hairy man. Rebekah prepared some goats, exactly how Isaac liked them. And then together, Rebekah and Jacob convinced Isaac that Jacob was Esau. So then Isaac gave the blessing that he wanted to give to Esau, despite God's promises, to Jacob. When Esau returned, and Isaac and Esau figured what happened, they were furious. Esau said, he took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. So Esau said that once Isaac died and he had spent time mourning for his father, he was going to kill his brother Jacob. Rachel, Rebekah, once again found out, told Jacob and convinced Jacob to go to Haran, where his brother Laban lived, where she grew up, where Abraham was from, and find a wife for himself there. And he told Isaac, and Isaac thought it was a good idea not to marry a Canaanite woman, and he sent Jacob on his way. So Jacob left. Not alone. His father was dying. His brother wanted to kill him. His mother was on his side, but his mother realized that he needed to get out of there too. About a 500-mile trip. One way, not in a car, but on foot. Several weeks through enemy territory is this trip that Jacob would have to go on alone. You know, we often go on our own. We go and do our own thing without giving any thought to the consequences. You know, we know what God promises. We know what God wants us to do. But we often don't want to wait for the Lord. We don't want to wait for the Lord to fulfill His promises. So we take matters into our own hands. We do our own thing. We think that we must do something in order to get what we want and what we want now. So we lie. We deceive, we manipulate, we pull a fast one over on God and others. But it really gets us nowhere. No, it alienates those close to us. We anger loved ones, we distance ourselves from those who want to help us, and as a result, we sin against God. And so no one wants to help us. No one wants to take care of us. No one wants to be with us, and so we find ourselves all alone in this world. Even when others are close to us, we still feel as if we're fighting our battles by ourselves. But it's not because of the sinful actions of others all the time. Often, it's because of what we have done. Often, it seems as if we're alone because we are paying for our own mistakes, just like Jacob. Well, Jacob had traveled, probably for a couple days, when he went about 50 miles and he got to a place called Bethel. Years earlier, Abraham had gone to Bethel on numerous occasions and built an altar there and offered sacrifices to God. And when Jacob got to the area of Bethel, it was night. So he laid down under the stars without any tent. Took a stone and used it as his pillow and fell asleep. There, God came to him in a dream. And he said to him in verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Jacob was all alone on his journey. And yet he wasn't. God was with him. You know, his father was dying. His brother wanted to kill him. His mom sent him away. And yet God was watching over him. God had been with him the whole time, guarding him and protecting him and promising to be with him forever, until all his promises given to him were fulfilled. That means the Lord had forgiven him. Now Jacob had committed some foolish and selfish actions. Sinned against the Lord by not waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promises. And yet God had forgave him. He didn't treat him as his sins deserved. Didn't leave him all to himself as Jacob wanted, but instead promised that he would be with him always. The Lord does the same for us. He forgives us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't hold our sins against us. And despite our sinful actions, despite us going off and doing our own thing, the Lord is never far off. The Lord is always with us. Always guarding us and protecting us. Always watching over us. And we know that He will continue to do so all the days of our life. In that dream that Jacob had as he fell asleep with the rock as his pillow, the central figure of that dream, or the central thing that we see, is a stairway or a staircase reaching from earth to heaven, and angels going up and down on the staircase. Now, throughout the pages of Scripture, we see God sending His angels to watch over His believers. They are there to guard us, to take care of us, to do the Lord's bidding for us. Now, you have the angels ascending from earth to heaven. They are giving reports to God about us and bringing God our prayers and petitions. Those angels coming down from earth to heaven, ascending, descending on that staircase, are coming down to earth to do what the Lord wants them to do, to protect us and to take care of us, maybe in some instances to even share God's word with us. Now this staircase is a symbol that an assurance that God is always with us. Now, God Himself stood at the top of that staircase, looking down upon Jacob. The distance between earth and heaven may be great. It may seem as if there is a great chasm between earth and heaven. But God is never far off. Heaven is always accessible. The Lord takes a personal interest in each and every one of us. Not only does He send His angels to guard and protect us, but He Himself looks down upon us and knows our every thoughts and weaknesses and needs. He's always in close contact with His people, even from heaven. On top of that staircase, looking down upon Jacob, the Lord spoke to Jacob. And He gave him a threefold blessing, the same threefold blessing He had given to his father Isaac and to his grandfather Abraham. Jacob was indeed the child of the promise, just as God had said. Now God told him, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." Remember that at the time, Jacob was fleeing for his life. For all he knew, Esau was pursuing him and would attack him in the middle of the night, and he wouldn't even live to see daylight. He was going to Haran, hopefully to find a wife and have children, but that was a far ways off. But here God said his descendants would be as numerous as the dust of the earth. In other words, too numerous to count would be your children and your children's children. Not only that, but his descendants would eventually inherit the promised land. The land that Jacob was now leaving, he would be brought back to. And his descendants would live on that land, eventually fulfilled 400 years after he died when Moses led the Israelites to the promised land. And then there's the last blessing, the most important blessing, that all peoples on earth, all nations would be blessed through you. And how's that? Well, because the Messiah, the Savior of the entire world, Jesus Christ Himself, would come from Jacob's line. From Jacob. One of his descendants would be the Son of God, the Savior of the entire world. And it is that Messiah, that Jesus Christ, that really is the fulfillment of Jacob's ladder, the fulfillment of that staircase that Jacob saw. In the first chapter of John, Jesus says to his disciple Nathanael, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is the staircase from earth to heaven. He is the one who bridges the gap. He is the one that fixes the way, that chasm that separates us between God. Because Jesus is the one that came down from heaven to earth to live a perfect life in our place, to give us His perfect life, to suffer and die, to rise again from the dead. It is through Christ that heaven is accessible to us. And because of Christ, we are now pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord, just as He is. His death and resurrection are assurance that through our death, we will live with Him in heaven forever. And on the last day, body and soul, we will live with our Savior. In the meantime, we still have access to God. By the merits of Christ, we are able to talk to God. We are able to approach God with freedom and confidence and speak to Him as a child speaks to his dear father, and know that the Lord will give to us what is beneficial to us in our lives. Road trips are fun. But despite how much fun we have on road trips, it's always nice to get home. Always nice to sleep in your own bed. As we go through this journey called life, we realize that we aren't home. That this is just a temporary home. But our permanent home is our eternal home in heaven. Heaven, which is given to us, won for us, accessible to us because of Christ. As we go through this journey, we know that we're never alone, that God is with us and always watching over us and taking care of us. And through the gift of His Son, we have a new home and a new life. A home free from pain and sorrow, free from loneliness and exhaustion, free from our sins and our own mistakes. A life with peace, a life with our Savior, a life with Christ, the stairway from earth to heaven, who gives us and will bring us to our eternal home. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.